The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding 1 pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. I've mentioned this a few times, but the reason that the first reading was not in your bulletin is because we are doing a Bible study series throughout July, and actually this will be the final one. So next Sunday is the final Genesis and Jacob story. So if you want to learn more, come out on Tuesday night. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, like yeast, like a hidden treasure, like a pearl merchant, like a full fish net. Have you understood all this? Even if we say yes, which the disciples said and totally didn't get it because they all abandoned Jesus in the end. Even if we say yes, though, we always seem to get the parables wrong. For example, upon hearing the first one, the mustard seed that grows into the greatest shrub, and even the second one about yeast, we think that it's about the kingdom of God growing in us, or that our faith or discipleship are increasing, or the two about value, the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl. We think that it tries to teach us to give up something for the gospel, which is worth far more. Or even the one about the fish net. We think, that one's easy. We've got a furnace and gnashing of teeth. It's about heaven and hell. When we hear the parables to be about us, demanding that we do something, and then threatening us with hell if we don't, what we're hearing is old-time religion. Old-time religion has the framework of if, then. In a nutshell, if you're good, then God will reward you. If you're bad, God will punish you. Old-time religion. But Jesus comes with something new. A framework of because, therefore, because I have fulfilled all righteousness, therefore you have peace with God. So then, the parables aren't about us at all, but rather they always proclaim the mercy of God in the end, which means that there's something surprising and unexpected about them usually, to reveal that God's mercy and grace are unexpected and surprising. So then, hear the parables anew. The kingdom of God is as surprising as a mustard seed, so little, and yet eventually so great and even lush. The kingdom of God. Same with the yeast, such a small amount, yet changing everything it touches. You see how in Jesus' mouth it becomes a promise, not a demand. Hear the parables anew. The kingdom of God is a hidden treasure, worth more than any visible possession. Or it's like an indiscriminate net that catches everything and everybody. Reminds us of the indiscriminate sower who foolishly spread seeds in the weeds, in the rocks, and on the road a couple of weeks ago, or last week. The indiscriminate farmer who let weeds grow alongside wheat 2 weeks ago and last week. God's mercy, indiscriminately lavished upon all. And the furnace, that's actually good news. God will root out all evil in the end, all that diminishes life, all that harms creation, all that thwarts humanity, even the evil that lurks inside humankind, sin, burned up in the end. You see how it becomes a promise and not a threat? For don't we all yearn for the end of all evil and the end of sin within us? God will take care of it all. We know the final judgment already. Guilty, forgiven in Christ. I saved the best one for last. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Guess who the pearl is? It's not Jesus. I know that's usually the right answer. The pearl is actually you and me. The merchant, God, gives up all he has, even gives up life itself on the cross to purchase us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing inside of us, nothing outside of us. In Jesus' mouth, old-time religion becomes new. All of these parables become promises. What we heard once as a demand or a threat is now the promise of a gracious and merciful God who sends his Holy Spirit to you and to me this morning through the little tiny seed of the word spoken and sung and preached, whose priceless presence is hidden to our eyes in, with, through, and under the bread and the wine of communion. A lavishly gracious and merciful and indiscriminate God. So if we don't have a job in these parables, to be better disciples, to grow the kingdom, to give up something, what are we supposed to do? See, our job is merely to fall in love with the lavish, extravagant, and gracious God we hear about. That's what faith is, falling in love with God. To experience in our hearts that Jesus really is a priceless treasure. I mean, how can you not? And the love that we have for God isn't to be turned upward in an invisible way, but to be turned outward toward our neighbors, anybody who needs anything from us. And especially, Jesus goes on to say later, turned outward toward the least of these, the outcasts. So now, have you understood all this? Only by the grace of God. Amen.